And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. Mike here, along with Steve Gardner, our Toronto Maple Leafs writer.
How's it going?
We can't echo the comments we were saying before we hit the record button. For anyone who knows, we chat for a little bit before we actually do the episode. And as some people have noticed, there's now a wrestling podcast that posts up every once in a while on the page because we have a subsection for all the other X75 Productions projects that I do. That is labeled as 18 plus for a reason. I think one day we're going to have to do an 18 plus TXHD panel podcast. It's like one episode. We just let it all out there.
It would be great.
Oh, the devastation.
We either gain a lot of fans or lose a lot of fans.
To be brutally honest, with our numbers on our site, I think we'll gain them. Okay, so here's the thing. You brought up numbers, and yeah. It's not something we really talk about on the show for reasons. Today we've only had 7 views.
Wow.
Actually, hold on. Yeah, 7 views. 4 of them was for an article that was announced at the beginning of the month, which was the 2019 NHL All-Star teams are announced. 2 views are for the homepage, and 1 view was for Awesome Mania, the podcast that I posted up this morning.
Wow. Okay.
But we did get 2 views in Japan, 2 from the Philippines, and 2 from Canada, and only 1 of those views was from the United States of America.
So we're having a rough go.
Yeah. For the month, we're doing worse than November.
Oh, boy.
So August, when we opened up the website officially, we had 288 site views.
Wow.
Which is okay, because we weren't really putting anything up.
Yeah.
Then in September, we had 1,202 views. With wow. 642
That's
visitors.
A huge...
So that was really good. And that, wow. And we were really putting out articles at that point. Like, our top article was about the Carolina Hurricanes unveiling the Hartford Whalers throwback jerseys.
Yeah, that was a good article.
Our second top article is about the Flyers unveiling Gritty.
Gritty.
And then for October, we had 1,799 site views for 978 visitors.
Wow.
And I think this was all still before you came on board.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Our top one was Tom Wilson to have appearing for a hit in final preseason game. That had 208 views. Then the next biggest one was the NHLPA file appeal on behalf of Tom Wilson, 193 views. Tom Wilson hearing scheduled for Wednesday morning, 80 views. And then CSA show brings Cup champions on October 12th for autograph signing, 78 views.
So basically the rule of thumb is that I came on board and everything fell apart.
No. And then November, we did 734 views.
Okay.
For 455 visitors. But we had 15 likes, which was kind of cool because up until that point, we only had a combined 4.
Jeez. Having a rough go.
734 views, 455 visitors, 15 likes. Our top viewed thing was our homepage of 149. But the top actual article was yours, which was William Nylander rumor swirling that had 71 views.
Look at that.
And then the number 2 one was the TXHT sever ties with the DCHL. With 34.
Ah.
Which actually had more views than the month of October.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, yep.
But then we got back on pace last month with 1,405 views with 1,110 visitors, which was our best number for visitors.
Wow.
Our best article was a progress report, Tom Wilson, 10 games in. That had 237 views, which was also picked up by NBC Sports' Pro Hockey Talk blog.
Yep, I remember that one.
And then our next big article was player safety and why it needs to be fixed, which you wrote, I believe.
I did.
And that was also picked up by NBC Sports' Pro Hockey Talk blog, and that got 173 views. And then our third highest one was Andrei Burakovsky on the trade block, ? 109 views. Oh, and then some expansion mock draft got 59 views, even though I was making fun of everybody for writing mock draft articles. Seriously, you should read it. It's really good. I actually made a new holiday hymn. It's really good. Yes.
I'll have to take a look at it then.
Three NHL trade deadlines, two free agent frenzies, one CBA. Anyways.
It's good. That's great.
And then this month, that sucking sound you hear is the month of January, where we only have 615 views for 398 visitors. Jeez. Our top viewed thing is our homepage with 89. And then Tom Wilson.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, and then, well, that does make sense, because the homepage, for people just going into it for the very first time, that's what you're going to see. So it makes sense. But our top article is Tom Wilson in his evolution, 58 views. And then NHL All-Star Last Men In nominees announced, 50 views.
Oh, boy.
We're doing worse than November, but 734. If we can get 120 views, we'll top it by one view. So okay. What's today's date? Today's the 25th. Oh, we're recording on the 25th.
We are recording on the 25th.
This will probably still come out on the 25th. But, so we're recording on the 25th. It's already gone into the 28th for viewing, or the 26th for viewing. So we have the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th. We have 6 days to potentially try to top November.
I have a couple more articles coming, so let's hope that works.
And I have a couple articles coming because also bye weeks for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Washington Capitals.
Yep.
So obviously I'm going to be writing a thorough article about the Caps and what's going on with them and my thoughts, which I'm also just going to talk about here on the show too.
Yeah.
Because I do know some people are like, oh, why do you give so much time to NWHL? It's because we cover women's hockey and we support women's hockey. We aren't going to be doing any women's hockey coverage on this episode, but it will return next episode simply because there's things that we need to talk about in regards to the Caps and the Leafs.
Yeah.
And so we'll start off with the Leafs, then we'll go into the Caps, then we'll go into the All-Star stuff, which you poor unfortunate soul is covering for us.
I am covering it. Oh, boy.
And we'll explain why he's a poor, unfortunate soul having to cover it.
We will. We will.
Isn't one of the songs in The Little Mermaid, "You Poor, Unfortunate Soul"?
I think it is.
You know what? We're Googling this.
I think it is.
We're Googling this. And then we're not going to play it because I don't want to get sued.
Yep. Let's not do that.
No, let's not get sued. Little Mermaid soundtrack. Okay, get that out of my way. So, I don't know. Damn. Okay, we're going to. All right, we're gonna. There's a part of your world, Under the Sea, which we all know. Kiss the Girl, which we all know.
Yeah, there is. Little Mermaid, Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Really? It's
yeah.
It's not showing on here.
What I just searched.
What the deuce?
It's
Little Mermaid, Poor... Yeah, that was how you spell poor. Unfortunate... Oh, yeah! You're right. Holy crap. Awesome. Oh, dude, it just gave me the lyrics.
I know. This could get very dangerous.
Oh, man. We all know I like to do parody singing. I mean, we've already seen me do one parody article on the site. Might as well.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh, God, I'm going to have so much fun with this. Now what I need is the lyrics to A Whole New World from Aladdin. And you know why, because I can't say it on the air.
The joy of this being not 18 plus right now.
If people, you know what, we'll put up a poll, seeing if people want us to do an 18 plus podcast.
Oh,
at least
boy.
Once. And we'll see what type of responses we get to it.
I feel like it's all going to be yes.
somebody's going to put in the Daniel Bryan yes gif.
Because I can hear everybody is wondering what you're thinking of saying right now, but you can't.
Oh my God, there's so many things I can't say.
Oh my gosh, it could be such a bad idea.
Many things we do are bad ideas.
This is also true.
I think this is the greatest TXHC podcast because we haven't really talked hockey at all.
We haven't done anything yet, no.
No. We started saying why you're a poor, unfortunate soul, then we started looking up the lyrics to The Little Mermaid's Poor, Unfortunate Souls song.
Yep, this took a real weird turn.
Yes, it did. It's very kinky. But anyways, what's not kinky is how our two teams are performing right now.
At all.
Right here at the All-Star break, Toronto has played 49 games. They are 30-17-2 with 62 points. They're actually second place in the Atlantic Division.
They are.
But they just ended like a little losing streak themselves by beating the Caps. But in their last 10 are 4-6-0.
Yep.
Besides the fact that William Nylander finally decided to wake up and put up 3 assists against the Caps.
Yeah, that was great.
What do you think's been going on with the Maple Leafs as of late, besides William Nylander coming in and per se messing up the chemistry?
So we've heard a lot about like the Leafs need defensemen, which is true. And that's kind of been the main focal point. Is that like our offense can score, but we need defense. And I don't want to ruin too much of my article that's coming up because I'm kind of writing about what's wrong with the Leafs. But I think in main part, what's wrong is that like the last like 15 games, even the offense is dried up, and then our forwards aren't back checking because now they're under pressure to like score more goals. But then we have Gary Roberts, who actually did a really interesting interview with TSN, and he was talking about how and what's the pressure of playing in Toronto, and especially when you're not scoring and you're not winning. And so they were talking about Austin Matthews and his 8-game goalless streak and like his very few amount of points.
Which also, by the way, you're welcome for his goal against the Capitals.
I really appreciated that. Holtby kind of, you know, opened the 5-hole. It was great.
But yet again, I've heard that every time Matthews does that move, he tends to score regardless of who's in the goal.
It's kind of true. That move, if he gets around the defenseman, I'm just like, oh boy, here it comes. But
duck and cover, boys.
But it tends to be that Roberts said that when he was in Toronto and he and Matt Sundin was injured and he was leading the Leafs into Carolina, he said that he couldn't buy a goal for his life. And the pressure on him was, if he didn't score, like, the fans in Toronto were all on his case. And they were all over him. He said that, like, he had comments where he'd be walking into the arena from behind and people would be out there and they'd be, like, yelling obscenities at him. And stuff like that. And he goes, this is what Matthews has to deal with. So he's struggling to score. Then the fans are all over his case. And now we have the Keyboard Warriors, which we talked about last week.
And the week before.
And the week before, it's true.
I think we're going to talk about Keyboard Warriors every episode. Yeah, at some point of every episode. Keyboard Warriors, shut up.
Because they just tend to make their presence known everywhere. But, like, so Matthews has to deal with a goal-scoring slump, and then he has to deal with the fans. And the fans and the media, like, reporting are kind of pushing him to force to be more offensive. And if one of the things I'll point out in the articles is if you watch Matthews and even Marner and those guys, you'll tend to notice that they're making pushes for more offense and forgetting about their defensive responsibilities, so hanging their defensemen and their goalie out to dry. And I think that's been the main purpose, is that the Tavares is known as one of the strong two-way players in the game. Same thing with Matthews. And Marner is turning into a strong two-way player. But, like, these guys here are missing, like, easy defensive responsibilities. And I think that has played a huge part. And they're pressing for offense and all this other kind of stuff. And it's become a little bit of a tiresome for them. And you could see when Matthew scored that power play goal, he was just finally like, oh, my gosh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But I should be saying, Ovi should be saying you're welcome to us, because every time he freaking comes to Toronto, he scores millions. Holy crap.
He only had one.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We can, like, Kadri tried to take out his knee last time. Oshie tried to kill him, and he still comes back and scores. Like, it doesn't matter.
I'm still surprised that Kadri didn't get suspended for kneeing Ovechkin in the knee.
He should have, big time. That was a definite knee. It was, ugh.
Intent to injure?
Oh, yeah. And I'm not even, like, I like when Kadri plays with an edge, but that was over the line.
Didn't he also kind of admit that he was trying to hurt Ovi anyways? I'm like,
yeah, he did. He yeah, really did.
But, you know, an interesting note here. In 49 games for the Leafs, they have 174 goals forward, 140 goals against, which is also tied with Tampa Bay.
Yep.
With a plus 34 differential. Obviously, Tampa Bay has a much better one because they have 199 goals forward.
Of course, yeah.
So the offense is there.
Yeah.
But you would like to see that, because Boston, who's fourth in the Atlantic, has 143 goals forward but 128 against.
Yeah. But if you like... So with Bergeron, when Boston comes back and has their full team together, if you ever watch how Boston plays, they'll score a couple. Maybe two, maybe three. But once they get that goal, it's like the neutral zone is gone. If you're going to play, if you're going to get offense, you're going to have to dump and chase and take a hit for it. And that's literally not the Leafs game style. And so it's all about they're forcing offense, and they're forcing this, and they're forcing that, and it's leaving players out of position, and defensemen are this, and it's getting really bad. And everybody played the blame game with Gardner, and he sat out the last two or three games, and they lost one, and they won one.
He sat out because of back spasms, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He sat out because of injury. But, like, everybody was blaming Gardner, and it was like, you looked around, and you, like, even in the game against Washington, all three of the goals were terrible giveaways or terrible, like, too much offensive push where they know they could have, like, backed off a little bit. And it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, like, what are you doing? And also the Leafs were taking a lot more penalties, which is the Leafs' trademark has always been, this season anyway, is that they're the least amount of penalties in the league. And they're getting more power play opportunities, so they're drawing penalties, but their power play is terrible in the last, like, 20 games. So it's like, might as well just take 2 minutes off the clock and go with it. Because that's the way how their power play has been going. So it's been a lot of different factors. And a lot of people assume that because of they load up the top power play unit, that their power play is the thing that keeps them going really strong. And it's not. Actually, their 5-on-5 game is the best in the league. They have the most 5-on-5 goals. Actually, sorry. They're top 5 in 5-on-5 goals. So it's a lot of different factors that have come into play. You spend more time penalty killing. You spend more time on the power play. You're taking away from your 5-on-5 game, which has been your best aspect. And then you have all these defensive lapses. You're bound to, like, lose a lot of games.
Yep. And then just to throw this out there, the team with the fewest goals against in the league?
Yep.
New York Islanders, 122. Yep.
Robin Lehner has been unfreaking believable.
You know, sometimes you need to have a bad thing happen to you to have good things come to you.
Yep. And I will say this too. Everybody underrated. Last season I heard a lot about Washington and their coaching staff and how it was really Ovi who stepped up his game. And I really believe that Ovi stepped up his game in the playoffs big time. But, like, that shows you how much their coaching staff, like, really meant. Because the coach leaves and goes to the Islanders and, like, wow. What a difference.
And he takes only two members of his coaching staff with him. The other two stayed in Washington. Or actually, three of them stayed in Washington.
Yeah. So it says a lot about what kind of coach he really is, right? He cleaned up like that. If you look at the Islanders on paper, you are literally laughing right now. Because they should not be where they are.
Yep. Especially after losing Tavares. I think that's one of the other things that a lot of people are forgetting. Once they lost John Tavares to the Maple Leafs,
yep,
everybody wrote off the Islanders.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they were a bunch of rejects now. You bring Komarov in, who the Leafs didn't want anymore. You bring in Matt Martin, who the Leafs didn't want anymore. You bring in Robin Lehner, who had his addiction issues, and now he's in total, like, sobriety. But you're taking a chance on all these guys, right? And then you're banking on Matt Barzal to be as good as he was last year. And you're banking on Anders Lee and Josh Bailey, those guys, to be actual leaders in the locker room.
And the thing is that some of those key names are also free agents at the end of this season.
Exactly, right?
Like, I believe Anders Lee is one of them.
He is.
Yep.
And I think Barzal's going, he has one more year on his entry level, but they're going to have to re-sign him. And at the pace he's going right now, he's going to demand a lot of money.
Yep. And then moving over to the Capitals. The Capitals in 50 games are 27-17 for 60 points. They have 171 goals forward and 162 goals against for a +9 differential. And, of course, obviously on a 7-game losing streak where the Caps have been 3-5-2 in their last 10. The Capitals are currently second place in the Metro Division. But underneath them is Columbus with 59 points and Pittsburgh with 58 and Carolina with 54. Now, Columbus and Pittsburgh return on Tuesday and Monday, respectively.
Wow.
So, anticipate them getting jumped and then potentially being in third or fourth place in the division when they come back on February 1st against the Calgary Flames, which the bad decision is Alex Ovechkin is sitting out that game when I would have had him playing in that game.
Yeah, that was a really weird decision.
That was a really dumb decision. I would have had him sit out the game against you guys, against Toronto, yeah, simply for the fact that Ovi, you know, he's beat up, he's tired, he almost got killed by TJ Oshie the other night.
Holy.
And honestly, it's like, that was a game he could have just sat out. I understand, and this is going to be part of my article that I'm going to be writing. I understand that we wanted to win going into the break.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and you understand this with the Leafs too, because it was the same situation for the Leafs, it's a double-edged sword.
It is.
Because, yay, you won! The losing streak's over. But you can't build on that momentum.
No, you have a week off now.
Week and a half.
Yeah, like it's...
So you have this week and a half off. Caps and the Maple Leafs, their last game was against each other on Wednesday. They don't play again until next Friday.
Yep.
You know, Toronto and Detroit and the Caps hosting Calgary. So that's the caveat there. So, like, honestly, I'm okay with the fact that the Caps lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're on a seven-game losing streak. That sucks. But I'm glad that I'm not glad that they lost, but I'm okay with the fact that they lost. Because now they can actually take the time off to fix things.
Yeah, agreed.
They can rest and relax, you know, and recover. Because a good friend of the show, Ted Starkey, who writes for Newsweek, does some Islanders coverage, does some Caps coverage. He put out a tweet after the Caps lost to Toronto. And pretty much what he said was that preseason, regular season, postseason combined in the last 16 months, the Capitals have played 170 games.
Yeah, they're exhausted.
That is a lot of hockey. And Elliot Friedman also said it yesterday in his 31 Thoughts for thought number 7, which the majority of it was about Andrei Burakovsky, who will be traded, calling it now.
I think
so. The last sentence he said is that despite the 7-game losing streak, nobody's writing off the Capitals.
Nope. Why would you? You can't, though. It's like let's be completely honest. You have one of the most deadly weapons, in my opinion. If his body will withstand, I have no problem saying he will pass Wayne Gretzky in goals. If his body will hold up, I have no problem saying that.
Well, I've already told you guys how I see it happening.
Yeah. And it's the thing is, like, people might sit there and go, well, yeah, he'll be like, what, 35, 36? It doesn't matter. Ovi has a Stanley Cup now. It's like he's rejuvenated his career again. And that's not to say he was bad, but he has more life in him now. I've said this before on the podcast, is that he used to be known for, like, floating around at center ice. And then the last, like, 5-6 years, it's a very different player. Very different player. And... He scores most of his goals in the power play. So what? He's deadly on the power play. You don't want to take a penalty when you're playing Washington.
Yeah, but, except for the fact that right now the Cavs' power play is so damn predictable.
Yeah, it is. But the thing I've always noticed about Washington, there's certain power plays who can do this, is that, like, they're predictable for a while, but eventually, like, when Ovi starts gunning again, nobody wants to block that shot.
Would you like to block that shot?
No.
Are you sure?
I'd be the guy who dove out of the way.
Your goalie would look at you and go, what the hell's wrong with you?
You're wearing more padding than me, man. Like, what the hell?
But
like, that's crazy. Like, you can't write them off.
Yeah. And you know, talking about keyboard warriors. there's 3 Facebook groups I'm in that are just capital specific.
Yep.
Man, are they out there?
Of course.
Man, are they out there? And it's like I posted the like a screenshot of Elliot Friedman's comment.
Yeah.
On the thing, and I just said, my comment was, this is from Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts. read the last sentence. Nobody read the last sentence.
Of course not.
They read the stuff about Burakovsky and ranted and did the keyboard warrior thing on Andrei Burakovsky.
Of course. Because for some reason, I don't know exactly what hockey culture has created now. But like, we've created this like idea that everybody needs a scapegoat.
See, it's not hockey culture. It's
fan culture.
It's fan culture, period. But the problem is, it's not even fan culture. It's just how society culture is now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Because we have all this social media now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That people can feel like they can say whatever they want and not feel the repercussions of it.
Yeah, like, sure, we get on here and we share our opinions and our thoughts and everything like that, but guess what? I'm not a GM. I don't have to deal with what they have to deal with on a regular basis. I'm not a player. Never been on an NHL coaching bench. Like, who are you to say all these things when you know nothing? Like, we know the very minimum that, like, analysts and insiders give us. That's all we know. And we make justifications off of that. And it's really sad to watch the keyboard warriors go to work and be like, oh, this person, he's been terrible. Let's trade him.
Well, see, here's the thing.
And
I've actually been saying for a while, Burakovsky should be traded.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's your thought.
I'm not saying that, oh, he has to be traded for this player, to this team. Like, I know we talked it last week and said, you know, because, like, you and Nathaniel were asking me questions.
Yeah.
And I gave just, if I was the GM, this is what I would do.
I would
trade Burakovsky to Edmonton, which nobody's going to be trading with Edmonton for a while just simply because, well, Shirelli's gone. We'll talk about that one in a moment. But I would trade Andrei Burakovsky for Jesse Puljujarvi.
Yep.
Straight up. Simply because Burakovsky used to be line mates with Connor McDavid, and it would work. And not only that, but Jesse Puljujarvi, who pretty much the Oilers have given up on, gets a fresh start with the Capitals.
Yep.
So when you look at the trade like that, it works.
It does work.
But to just go, oh, we got to trade him for this. Like somebody said, because Dallas had scouts at the Caps game against whoever they played before Toronto. Oh, San Jose.
Yeah.
Everyone was going, oh, we can trade Burakovsky for Sagan.
What?
Tyler Sagan makes a whole hell of a lot more money than Burakovsky. And you only have $1 million in cap space.
And like, no offense to Burakovsky, Sagan's might be a little bit better, you know, just a small smidgen better.
Just a little bit.
I feel like the package would have to be a little more intriguing.
And when we say a little bit, we mean a lot.
Yeah. There was a lot of sarcasm there.
Yeah. If you couldn't tell by our sarcastic tones.
And like that, there's no offense against Burakovsky. Burakovsky's a good player.
He's not consistent.
He's not consistent.
He's injury prone. Those are the two knocks on him. And the other thing is that because of his inconsistency, you can't trust him to be a top six.
Yep.
I mean, and I even said this in the beginning of the season, is one of the lines that I would never break up ever is Andrei Burakovsky, Lars Eller, and Brett Connolly. Because that line works.
Yeah, it's true.
And Burakovsky, for some reason, has not been able to make it work.
Yep.
Connolly is playing well. Eller could play a tad bit better, but he was playing well at the beginning part of the season. He's kind of in a little snide right now, but, you know, Eller will get out of it.
Eller's a little more of a playoff player, too.
Talk about playoff players. DSP, Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Yep.
He really has not done much of anything. Like, I appreciate the fact that he took a massive discount to come back to the Capitals, because he had some big offers on the table that he left behind just to stay with the Caps.
He did.
But I'm not liking what I'm seeing from DSP. I think he could do a much better job. I'd like to see Nick Dowd be in the lineup a bit more. I'd like to see Dmitry Yaskin in the lineup a bit more. You're not really going to get goals from those guys, but those guys work.
They do work.
And, like, I really like to see Yaskin get a real goal and not one that just hits off his foot and in. Like, I'm rooting for Dmitry Yaskin to get an actual goal. Like, snipe, top shelf.
It's a good shot. He could snipe one home. He has a nice shot.
Oh, yeah. And he's got size. So, like, be in front of that net, man. You know? Be in front of that net.
He does have good size for that.
But then another guy who I think I said it to you guys last week that's on my radar for the next 2 years that I could see being traded is Jacob Vrana.
Yep.
Because the guy's a turnover machine.
He's a
he has great talent.
Yep.
He's going to be a good goal scorer.
Yeah.
But he has inconsistency issues.
Yeah.
And he's a turnover machine.
If I can throw a name out there of who
and he also takes some pretty bad and he also takes some pretty bad penalties.
If I'm going to throw a name out there, and this is who I think of when I think of Vrana, and it's Alexander Semin.
Nah, see, the difference between Semin and Vrana is that you can tell that Vrana actually puts the work in to become better.
I will give you that. He does.
Semin just didn't care because he wanted to be the face of the franchise.
Yep.
And then because he was drafted before Ovechkin.
Yep.
Because he was drafted before Ovechkin, he felt that he was going to be the next big franchise guy of the Capitals. And then the Capitals won the lottery and get Alex Ovechkin.
Yep.
And as a result of that, you know, Ovechkin becomes the face of the franchise because obviously he's the first overall pick.
And he's better.
And actually, the crazy thing is that there are still reports that, you know, Alexander Semin could have been a better goal scorer than Ovechkin.
It wouldn't show. If he had put the effort in,
yeah,
it wouldn't shock me.
If he put the effort in, he probably would have been a better overall rounded player than Ovechkin.
Yep.
But because Ovechkin came in, Backstrom came in, they became the faces of the franchise.
Yep.
You know, Semin get all pouty and stuff. You know, and the whole reason he signed the 7-year contract with Carolina was with the hopes of being the face of the franchise, but there's one problem. You had a guy there by the name of Eric Staal and Cam Ward.
Yep.
They were the faces of the franchise. And then for a while, it was also a little bit Jeff Skinner.
Yep. And then he went to Montreal, and that didn't work out.
Yeah. I remember joking with my friend Brendan about that. I was like, enjoy Semin for the 10 games you have him.
Yep.
And I think he only lasted 10 games with the Canadiens.
Yeah, he didn't last much. If anything, he didn't last much longer than that.
Yeah. So, and I think it's because he really wanted to be the face of a franchise. And because he wasn't going to be the face of the franchise, he just kind of coasted.
Yep. Do you remember?
Whereas Vrana, doesn't coast. He actually puts in the work. Like he actually stays after practices to continue to work on stuff on his game. So I definitely give Jacob Vrana a lot of credit for that. But he's still a guy who I could see in 2 years in the Andrei Burakovsky situation.
Yeah, if he doesn't improve,
yeah.
I can see that.
And that's the thing. Burakovsky is like, what, 23?
Yeah.
Vron is like 21?
Yeah. Around there, 20, 21, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of throwing that out there, you know?
Yeah. It's true, though. It's true. It's always, it's the unfortunate knock on a lot of European players.
Mostly Russians, though.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because you look at a lot of the Russians in the league now, like you have like the Ovis and
the Radulovs, the Nichushkins, and
yeah, and like
although Nichushkin's not going well in Dallas again.
Yeah, I don't think he really wants to be there. I think his kind of hope is that they kind of ship him out, and I just don't think he wants to play in Dallas. I think he got rubbed the wrong way when they signed Radulov and instead of him and let him go back to
Boston. No, he refused to sign, period. He didn't want to sign with them.
Yeah, there was, okay, so I'm not going to...
That was before Radulov.
Yeah, yeah, but there was
Because remember, Radulov, if I remember right, he signed with Montreal the year that Nichushkin went to, or the year before, no, the year before Nichushkin had left. And then I think a year after that, or 2 years after that, Radulov signed with the Canadiens, had a really good year, and then he signed with Dallas that next summer.
I thought, okay, so maybe I'm correct. I should probably Google it. I thought that...
Somebody Google it now. We don't have Dixon, damn it.
I thought that Nichushkin left the year that Radulov signed. Like, Radulov signed just after Nichushkin.
No, because remember, Nichushkin was gone for 3 seasons.
He was gone for 3? Wow, I thought it was 2.
No, he was gone for 3, I believe.
Let me find out. No, 2.
Oh, he was 2?
Yep.
Shut up, Meg. As I grab more Smarties to snack on. Or as my ex-girlfriend called him, chalk candy.
Chalk candy, that's great.
No, random thought. Yeah, so I like eating Smarties. You can blame my father. And I remember eating Smarties one Halloween when I was dating my now ex. This is like years ago, because we broke up like 7.5 years ago. And,
wow.
Yeah, still single too. hashtag forever alone. But I remember I was eating the candy. She just handed me all of her Smarties. And she went, yeah, you can have it. The only use I could see it for is to use it as chalk on a chalkboard. Which, so the kids who are listening to this don't even know what the hell a chalkboard is anymore.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh. So yeah, you're right. Radulov signed in Montreal in 2016. And then came to Dallas 2017.
And Nichushkin left.
Nichushkin left Dallas in 2016 and came back 2018. Yeah. Ew, he has 7 assists. What the heck? That's worse than I thought.
All right. Peter Chiarelli.
Peter Chiarelli.
Another one bites the dust. Second general manager to get fired during the season.
And I feel like I can confidently say the one that should have been first.
I think a lot of people were saying that one.
Wow. What?
But the thing is that Bob Nicholson has made it known that there will be 0 moves whatsoever until a new general manager is put in place.
Which will be by the deadline, because I fully expect the Oilers to be
sellers.
More terrible. I just consider it more terrible, that's all.
But then, at the same time, you have comments from Connor McDavid, where he essentially was saying that if anyone in that locker room doesn't believe in the team, that they should leave the room.
Yeah.
And I have not seen any of the All-Star media stuff, because I actually have a job that makes me work Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Yep. So, you know, I have to do work things, which is why we're a little behind on putting out articles at times. Like, hours later. Trust me, if we were getting paid to do TXHT,
we'd have it up on time.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
But we're not. And we have to work real jobs to pay the bills.
Yeah, makes it more difficult. You work during the day, I work during the night, so...
Yeah, I know. So the greatest thing, I love you texting me at 2 in the morning when I'm asleep.
I'm just like, I need to get this out or else it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and actually Shaggy likes to email me his Connecticut Whale articles at like midnight, 1 a.m. when I'm asleep. And like, by the way, Shaggy, if you're listening, I do apologize for not putting up your whale recap that you gave me on Tuesday. It's because you sent it to me at 1 a.m. and then I swiped it off to the side, the notification for it, and then completely forgot about it. Can you please start putting your articles into WordPress so I can just hit publish? The writer on the team does not put their articles in the damn WordPress. I have to copy and paste everything into the article. Or into WordPress for him.
It's terrible.
I still love you, Shaggy. And the reason I bring up All-Star Media is do you know what Connor McDavid said about the Oilers?
Yeah. He, they asked him all these questions about Peter Chiarelli, and he handled them very well. He was like, he just kind of brushed them off very cool, saying how he's not here to talk about Chiarelli or about the Edmonton Oilers. He's here to have some fun at the All-Star game, so just leave your comments back in Edmonton. I'll answer them then.
Hey, I'm Connor. Can I ask you about Peter Chiarelli, please? Did you ever rub his head for good luck?
If he did, it wasn't good luck for sure then.
Rubbed his head, did you go, wish I had a watermelon, wish I had a watermelon, wish I had a watermelon?
I could see Connor McDavid doing that.
You know what? Connor McDavid has a better flow of hair than I do.
He has better flow of hair than a lot of people do.
I don't think you have hair.
No, I do.
Really?
I do. It's not that long of hair.
I have long hair, but yeah, his flow is better than mine. Actually, yeah. Kasper Kapanen has a nice locks of hair.
Yeah,
Kapanen. This has gotten really weird. Let's get back on the topic of All-Stars.
Yeah, let's go back. Peter Chiarelli and the All-Stars. Let's do this. Okay.
Yeah. So Connor didn't want to answer questions about Chiarelli, yeah. But did he say anything of note about the Oilers in general?
He made it very clear that he expects them to come back and be competitive and stronger than they were before the break. He wants to win with this roster was his idea.
And what was it like seeing Austin Matthews in those god-awful All-Star jerseys being a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey with the Captain C on it?
I didn't really flinch at it because I fully expect him to be the captain eventually. But Matthews in his very sarcastic humor, the media was like, how does it feel to wear a Leafs jersey with a C on it? And his response was, I'm really hoping that the Toronto PR website handles this with great adult responsibility or something. They handled it like adults or something. And then somebody posted underneath it saying, wrong, with a gif of somebody going crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what the Capitals have talked, any of the Caps players have talked about in Media Day. But let's be honest here. You a poor, unfortunate soul.
Yeah, so...
Wait, hold on, I'm not done yet.
Okay, here it comes.
You poor, unfortunate soul, in pain, in need... Wait, I'm just bouncing around for the lyrics real quick. Yes, indeed, you poor unfortunate soul. I'm not gonna go into that part. Okay, oh yeah, there we go. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead, make your choice. We're gonna have so much fun with this.
This this is what we were talking about. This could go really downhill.
An 18-plus podcast, it will go downhill. That's why we're going to have a poll and see what people say.
Oh, boy. I feel like everybody's going to sign up to do that podcast. We're going to have, like...
I think we should put it on Patreon and put it behind a paywall. You want to be 18-plus, you got to pay for it, so I can pay for the, all the expenses that I go through to make sure I can run this stuff. You know? I gotta pay for the website, damn it, out of my pocket, you know. So.
Oh my goodness. You probably make a pretty penny off that.
Yeah, I'll just say it's a. I'll just say the paywall is a dollar.
Oh gosh, that'd be so good. But. Oh, you're not done.
Did you notice any other notable All-Star notes from the media scrums?
Yeah. The fact that it's going to suck.
And those jerseys are god hideous.
They're terrible. They are so ugly, it's unbelievable. I thought they were ugly when they showed previews of them. They're uglier on people. Okay, so be prepared to watch the most ugliest set of jerseys move around the ice ever. But secondly, and I have a big problem with this. So Nathan MacKinnon is not going to participate in, it sounds like, the All-Star weekend.
No.
That's
what, like, just like the, it sounds like just the festivities for tonight.
Okay, so he's, look, okay, then he's
because,
not in.
Because Friedman's tweet, Elliot Friedman's tweet was that MacKinnon was flying in from Colorado today.
Okay, so then he's not participating in the skills competition, which is going to add another level. So then basically now nobody can defeat Connor McDavid in the fastest skater. So it's that competition is already won.
Crosby's not competing.
Crosby's not competing because he's sick, which is slightly hilarious. But anyways. And then...
And if this was an 18-plus podcast, boy, do we have the jokes.
But there is one more person who's not playing. MacKinnon, Crosby. There's one more. Crap.
You told me in the text message, Ovi.
I did. Now I gotta go look it up. Damn it. It is... Ovi. Oh, yeah. And Ovi's already not gonna be there. So literally we have no entertainment. Like, at least last year, like, somebody used Gaudreau. Oh, it was Voracek. Voracek used Gaudreau as, like, a little, pretended to be, like...
2015 one.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And then Ovi always does something with a hat and something weird while he's doing the breakaway. It's fantastic. But now there's nobody to make any jokes. Like, it's going to be weird.
Remember when they did the very first fantasy draft and...
Kessel didn't get chosen?
No, and yeah, Kessel didn't get chosen, but Ovi was trying to be the last one.
Yeah.
He actually held up a thing, pick me last, I need a car.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, there's nobody going to be there who's going to have any jokes. Like, John Tavares and Matthews are already crossed off because their personality sucks. And then, like...
PK Subban going to be there?
No, it's Yossi.
Oh, it's Yossi.
And then, like, I can't even think of who else laughs on the All-Star team. Taylor Hall's not going to be there.
Oh, you know Brent Burns is going to be good, though.
Oh, yeah, Brent Burns will be good. That's true. And maybe Carlson.
If he, Erik Karlsson or John Karlsson?
Erik Karlsson is participating. He got cleared to participate this morning. So,
oh joy, oh rapture.
I know, right? It's funny. But there's not very many guys who are going to make this, like, entertainment value.
Yeah. Well, while you're watching the All-Star Games tomorrow, I'll be watching NXT TakeOver Phoenix.
Ooh.
And thank God for the NHL that the All-Star Games tomorrow night, because they would have lost big time to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is like, I know I'm watching the Rumble on Sunday, so there would have been no All-Star Game coverage.
Yeah, and I'm watching the Royal Rumble on Sunday.
So.
And I'm watching TakeOver tomorrow. I'm sorry, I have to watch TakeOver live. For those of you who are not wrestling fans and are still confused as to why there's a wrestling podcast posting up on our page.
I'm still confused sometimes.
It's because X75 Productions owns TXHT. TXHT is the only website that X75 Productions runs at the current time. So X75 Productions has a subsection on the TXHT website, which there are subsections in that subsection for Awesome Mania, The Experience, the X75 Archives, which I have not been able to put up yet because I need permissions from people to be able to put up those episodes. I already got permissions for one of the shows to be able to put up that archive. Now I need to get the permissions for another one so I can put up that archive. Movie that we've made for X75 Productions up on the website in the subsections. So, like, TXHT is the juggernaut of X75 Productions. So X75 Productions has a subsection with all the other stuff underneath it. That's why TXHT is the ultimate juggernaut. But the other thing is that until I can figure out how to get a blog post to go onto said other page and not onto the home page, that would be great. But until then, you're just going to see every other week. Well, you're going to see 3 weeks straight of one episode of Awesome Mania because we did a special yesterday, or we recorded yesterday the special, posted it this morning. But we're going to be doing the show bi-weekly. The website helps give it exposure. You know, it's better than just posting it up on Facebook and posting it up on Twitter and having it get lost in the timelines or the news feeds or whatever. It's actually on a website. People can go, hey, I want to hear the episode. There's the archive.
Yep.
So that's what it is. TXHT is the juggernaut of X75 Productions, but I need something to put all the other X75 Production stuff. If I'm able to get enough money to open up a second website and link the two together, then I'll move all the X75 Production stuff over to an X75 Productions website and let TXHT just breathe its own breath as its own site. But I'm not there financially.
And it doesn't really change anything right now.
Yeah.
And if anything, it gives us more people.
Well, not only that, but here's the other thing. We're not writing wrestling blogs.
No.
You know, Ben's not going to be writing
articles. It's just a blog.
Yeah, Ben Taylor is not going to be writing blogs on the website. I'm not going to be writing wrestling blogs on the website.
Nope.
It's simply, strictly, just the podcast episodes. And it's gonna, and you're gonna start seeing some convention coverage up on there too, because I do have a convention appearance in 2 weeks in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which is Farpoint, featuring Wallace Shawn, who is in Princess Bride, House Arrest, Star Trek: Deep Space Nine, and then also Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulsen. Pinky and the Brain. and that'll be at that convention. I am working on getting interviews with all three of the gentlemen that I named. And you'll be seeing those interviews up on the website when they're available.
Well, look at that. We have multiple things running off one website. We're geniuses.
I know. If only I had thought of it sooner. I mean, I seriously thought about when I created the website about making it an X75 Productions website and then just doing subsections for everything else and just have the articles just feed up. It didn't matter. But again, because TXHT is done every day, every week during the NHL season, it made more sense to do a TXHT website than an X75 Productions website.
Yep, it makes sense. Makes sense.
So, but as I mentioned, I will be at a convention that weekend. Shaggy will be at the National Women's Hockey League All-Star Game in Nashville.
At this.
And he will be covering the All-Star festivities of the NWHL for TXHT. And this will be the third official NWHL event that TXHT has covered live in person.
Wow.
And I'm super excited for that. If I didn't have the commitment to the convention, I would have gone with Shaggy to the NWHL All-Star festivities.
And I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah. But there's always next season.
Exactly.
And it's very intriguing to see what city they may do the All-Star game in next year. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. What's also interesting, too, about the All-Star game coming up is the one interesting thing is that Kendall Coyne, from the U.S. national team, is actually in the NHL's fastest skater lineup. So she will get to compete against Cam Atkinson, Matt Barzell, Jack Eichel, Miro Heiskanen, Clayton Keller, Connor McDavid, and Elias Pettersson. So some people say that Coyne actually has a chance at it. I haven't seen her skate, so I can't say. But some say she flies. So
what they need to do is if they can get Phil Kessel into another NHL All-Star game,
yeah,
the NHL has to partner up with the NWHL and get his sister to be part of the festivities.
Please. Please.
Because his sister Amanda plays for the Metropolitan Riveters.
Yeah, they need to. That would actually be the most entertaining thing ever. Because I wonder how many jokes she would make about Phil Kessel.
Well, not only that, but the running gag is that Amanda's the better Kessel.
Yeah, I could see that. She's also the better-looking Kessel, but...
but, alrighty, you have festivities to be tortured by.
Yes, I do.
You poor, unfortunate soul.
Oh, boy.
Where can the people find you on the social medias, especially tonight and tomorrow, crying on Twitter?
They can find me crying on Twitter at Gardski. And then on Facebook, look for my articles on both social medias, but you can catch me on Facebook at Steve Gardner. I'm going to be doing updates on Twitter during the All-Star competition, and I'm going to be doing an article with all the winners and just an overview of the weekend and stuff like that, so.
Yay! And then Obviously articles throughout the week because bye week and we need content.
Yes. I'm going to be finishing up a Leafs article concerning the play lately in the next, few hours. And then All-Star Game content. And then hopefully a few other articles. Working on another nice NHL article. So look out for that, too.
Yep. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can find all my social media stuff on TXHTHockey.com, the TXHT Twitter, Facebook, that's all up on there. However, I did pull recently off the website our Twitch and Patreon accounts off of the website. That is a temporary move right now, simply because we haven't been active on Patreon like I wish we were. And Twitch, we are not active on that right now. I'm waiting for a couple things to come into play. Once those things come into play, we'll start utilizing Twitch again. Because that's really more video-based, and we're now just really recording our episodes and then posting them up on the website now. So, it's not useful to have the Twitch account. I mean, it's useful to have the Twitch account, it's just we don't have a use for it at this moment. But Facebook, Twitter, that's both up there, txhthockey.com. And our goal, Steve, what's our goal? 125 views.
Yeah.
We need 120. Oh, hold on. Let me make sure that that's accurate. I'm not talking out of my ass.
Gotta reach the goal.
134. 120.
120.
We need
even better.
We need 120 views to beat November. We can do it.
We got it.
120 views, people. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that, this has been TXHT, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. And until next week, we will see you on the ice.